Take our text from over here in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians, the 16th. And we're also, if you want to just try to thumbnail it or somehow get hold it, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we will hopefully be there by the help of the Lord after a while. But right now, I'm thinking about what I've written on the board, watch ye stand fast. I think that we, in our humanity, it's not that these are uncommon scriptures to us or uncommon subjects. And I sometimes think about these verses and I think, well, we went over these over and over and over, but Paul, I think it was him that said, but we stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, because sometimes life has a way of almost wearing us down, or it can. You know, there's the wearing, the constant pressure of life that sometimes we encounter, and after a while we can start feeling a little bit like, I don't know, I'm tired. Isn't that kind of part of life? You know, yesterday, I feel a little guilty sometimes, but I did something throughout the day that was a little bit more for me than about anybody else, I suppose. And so I didn't visit any of you yesterday. I just took off and went to an old tractor show. Oh, they had a lot of old interesting things there. They threshed some wheat with an old threshing machine, belted up to an old steam engine. And all those moving parts and sounds and everything that I saw there just kind of excites my old mind. And saw a corn sheller, anyway, never mind. You don't need to know everything I saw. It was interesting to me. And it caused me to remember, too, I had Uncle Wesley Williamson. He's come to that very one over there in Fairview where I went yesterday. And caused me to think about him finding an old Fordson tractor in somebody's yard. I think it was a 27 model. And it had been locked up and set as more of an ornament over an edge of some trees than what it was anything else. And he came by and said, would you want to sell that? Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. And he ended up negotiating for it and brought the old rusted piece of metal locked up. Brought it home, and he went over there and he started working on some spark plugs, and he got them worked out, and he poured some Marvel mystery oil down in some of these cylinders. And he got the thing in gear, and he jacked up a rear wheel and put that thing in a higher gear, and he'd go by there and rock that wheel back and forth and trying to get the engine to turn. Well, it didn't today, and he came back, poured some more Marvel mystery oil down those spark plugs and come back and rocked that back and forth. Time after time. Until one day he said that wheel turned a little. He saw the fan blade turn up a little. That thing came loose. And he was telling me this story. And I thought of how the tractor that I was seeing that he was talking the story about, he had painted it all up. The thing did. It looked like it came off a showroom floor. Now, I want to tell you, it wasn't showroom floor ready back then. Wasn't very spiffy, but it was well painted. And he looked at me and he said, would you like to hear it run? And I said, sure. And he reached over there and he got some adjustments just right. And he got a hold of that flywheel and he turned it over and had the pitcocks open and got some gasoline in the cylinder. And then he closed the pitcocks and he pulled that flywheel over, pop, pop, pop. that thing started running. And he backed up with this little grin on his face, and he ducked his head like, listen to that. And I thought of the great joy that he had in reclaiming something that had been thrown away. And I think there must be great joy in heaven when the Lord sees somebody that's over in the hedgerow, rusted up, all locked up, and he gets a hold of us and pours some of his mystery oil into our soul. And then somebody comes by and say, what's this? He said, would you like to hear it run? And he takes a rebuilt, a reclaimed heart and causes us to run this race that we might gain the victory into the end. And people look at our lives and marvel. How did that ever happen? Well, it happens because we have a God in heaven that cares and loves and encourages us today to watch ye stand fast. And I want to read over here in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. Now, Paul was writing here to the Corinthians, and he'd come down to the end of this book, first book of Corinthians, and he came down to the end of that letter, and Paul was, he gave them much instruction and a lot of things that he wrote about. It's a wonderful book. But down toward the end, he was interested in giving them some last little instructions. And so I would like to read here some of what he said. First Corinthians 16 and 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I think of the impact, the intent for these words to be shared with people that Paul cared about, was wanting to instruct, wanting to protect from dangers in the future, wanting to keep them encouraged. He didn't want them to, any of them, get worn down by life or whatever they were facing in those times. And quite frankly, there were some of the early saints that they had a lot of opposition from different sources. Some was from the Judaizing, those who would want to still adhere to the Judaic law. There were some problems there, and there were some problems from the Roman government, some, and from other sources of Gentile influence that would come in. They wrestled with this. And it's never been easy. It's always caused you and I, we have always had to press into the kingdom of God. We've always had to be willing to put forth our effort. And that happened to this early church. And Paul, knowing they were struggling and had these things to face, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. God wants you and I to give our effort and our heart and all we know how to the Lord and be willing. He knew he was interested in these young, maybe not all of them were young Christians, but he wanted them to stay faithful and true unto the end. So watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all things be done in what way? With charity. Again, I wasn't that long ago, I was talking with some other men who I thought they would have known this part of the scripture, but I reminded them about this faith and the nature of this faith. I said it's a faith that works by love. It's a scripture. And they said, I've never known that. There is a power, there's a force, there's something that would cause us not only to be watchful, but to be able to have strength to stand. There's a faith that works by love, that causes vigilance, that causes willingness to be given myself wholly to the Lord. God would have us to let all things be done with charity. That is the motivating force that comes out of our hearts. There's reasons why we do some of the things we do. The reasons why we give of our... There's a reason why Jesus came and gave of himself unto death. And it wasn't because of vindictiveness in any way, but it's because of great love that he had for you and I, that he gave himself. So I think about us today and how the Lord would have us in this our day. In this our day, God would have us to be willing, to be watchful, to stand fast in the faith, to be willing to examine. I think of remember the Bereans that we find in the Scripture? Here they spent time regularly looking at the Scripture, investigating, honestly searching. Isn't that what you and I should still be doing? That we would investigate in hunger and thirst and investigate the Scripture. What does it mean? Be honest when we look at it. Folks, I want to tell you today, I don't have allegiance to just some old writings. Though they may be good old writings, but that's not enough. I'm interested, and I know the writings that we have here are old too, but I'm talking about sometimes we think old writings may have all begun in 1880. I want to tell you, it's not nearly far enough back. I appreciate what other faithful men of God have left behind, but I want to tell you, I'm interested in what thus saith the Word of God. I'm interested in being honest with what we see. I'm hungering and thirsting. I'm watching. I want to stand fast in the faith, not in somebody else's idea, but I'm interested in knowing God for myself. I'm interested in being acquainted with the author. God wants us to know Him, to be able to ground ourselves in what God would want to speak to our heart, that we might watch, stand fast in the faith. I think today we recognize, don't we, that when we are wrestling with things that would come and abrade our mind or try to attack and try to draw us or try to convince us otherwise and what we know the Scripture says, that all the influences of the world around us that would come in and put pressure against us, I think we know where that battleground is, don't we? Some people say, you know, in the Scripture talks about the heart. And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to put it perhaps a little bit more in modern type of language. It's not just the heart, but it's all the mind. The things I think, the things I let myself go out after, the things that begin to cultivate in my mind, that comes out of the seat of my heart. That is what I begin to express myself through, the thoughts that I've had. The devil knows exactly how to worm his way into the corners of our mind and try to leave a question mark many times. Do you remember, I believe it was a number of years back, I think it was Brother Curtis Williams at Monarch, if I remember right. It may have been other ministers too have used it, I don't know, but he's one I believe that I remember now. He wrote a question mark up on the chalkboard and talked about how the devil would like to move us into a realm of question, of not being certain. Something that maybe had been established, the Lord had established in our lives. And societal pressure or things had changed, and we come to the place that I said, well, maybe I need to relook at it. I want to tell you, if it's in the Scripture, hold fast. God would not have us to be questioned in our mind and be moved off the sound doctrine that we find in the Scripture, in relationship with the Lord. God would have us not to be moved in the realm of question mark. I want to tell you, an uncertain man is not going to know which way to go. God wants you and I to be, to watch, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. Now I would like to go over into Ephesians, the 6th chapter.
I think I'm going to start reading here at the 10th verse. Again, the same writer, different book, a different letter to a different audience, but again, Christians. And he's telling them, again, in the finality, the latter part of this letter, he's writing, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in what Brother Doug this morning in the Sunday school lesson back here was talking about. There's a verse that says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Our strength is not while we admit and we say that, yes, God wants us to give Him our best, give Him our efforts, not just lay back lazily and say, Lord, you just whatever. God wants us to be engaged, to be part of this battle. I want to tell you the battle is too big for us. When I am weak, when I come to the place of being willing to yield myself to the Lord and say, Lord, this is too much, and I'm interested, Lord. I must win the victory here, and I don't hardly know how, but I'm seeking your face. I think of how different people of old, you remember Gideon? Gideon was out there hiding, trying to thresh some wheat, trying to keep it protected from the Midianites who were willing to come and try to steal it from him. And he was back there alone, risking his time and his life and attacked from the Midianites. And there came an angel. He didn't know it, but came what looked like another man to him and said, thou mighty man of God. And he said, you don't know who you're talking about. I feel very weak. And you know what? He was. Except he was willing to give his effort. He was willing to also believe God. God told him what to do. And we can levy all kinds of criticism against Gideon and say, but Gideon, you should have believed a little stronger. You should not have asked for that fleece. You should not have needed to ask for the second fleece. You should not have had to be fearful. You should have, whatever, Gideon, you just should have done better. But Gideon obeyed the Lord. Now, I want to encourage us in our odyssey of life and the things that we are confronted with. I want to encourage us to obey the Lord. Be strong. Quit ye like men. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Let all things be done with charity. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. We think about the whole armor. The writer here, Paul, I know was drawing correlation, perhaps imagery from the battlefield and people who would know they were going into a dangerous situation where their life could easily be taken. They would begin to fortify themselves in various ways to try to protect them against the darts, against the swords, against the attack. Know this also on the spiritual side, dear ones, this morning, we need to fortify ourselves. That's what he's talking about here. It's not talking about literal armor, but he's talking about a spiritual armor. A place where you and I are willing to say, Lord, this is a weak place. I know this weakness. My mind has a way of wandering, Lord, into areas that it shouldn't wander. And I want on the helmet of salvation today, Lord. I want you to protect me in my mind. Strengthen me, Lord, with your spirit in the inner man. You know, this mind can sure get us in a lot of trouble. You ever heard of making mountains out of molehills? Well, they didn't do that with a shovel. They did it with a mind. That's what that's referring to. Something, and I must say, I've been guilty of it before. It's easy to look at something and get your mind engaged and your emotions flowing and everything. And you look, and it's much worse in your mind than what it really is. Isn't that what the devil likes to do? He would like to get us to the place where I'm defeated before I start. or I feel like the hope has all dwindled away, I want to tell you, that's not where God would have you and I to reside. That's not quitting ourselves like men. That's not watching, because God wants us yet today to be vigilant, to be watchful, because we have an adversary that is walking around trying to get us to the place where we're separated, get to the place where we can be devoured as a weak one. Quit you like men, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles. Oh no, we've got an enemy that's not only seems strong and he roars loud and strikes fear in my heart when I know I'm getting ready to go out and face this world. I have, not only does it, he's wily, he's sneaky, he knows how to use exploit every weakness that I might have. But I want to tell you, in that weakness that you know you have, put an armor on it. How do you do it? We have the opportunity. When we know where our weakness is, we should first admit it to ourselves and to God and ask Him, Lord, strengthen me with might in the inner man. May Your Holy Spirit, listen to this office work that the Lord has for His Holy Spirit. Folks, our carnal mind will capitulate before it should. Our carnal mind would build things up when it shouldn't build it up. Our carnal mind would allow things, and the question mark in our mind would allow things we shouldn't allow into our mind. But yet there's a Holy Spirit that the Lord would have to come in and reside and strengthen that is weak in you and I. That is weak is our mind, our passions, our desires, those things that we have. And sometimes your weakness is at a different place than mine is. But where you see, you know the devil has an advantage in your life. I want to encourage us to ask the Lord to arm us there, that we might be strong, that the devil will not take advantage, we might have victory. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a propensity in my mind that when I have been disappointed, when I have felt hurt, when I have felt that most... Have you ever noticed when you feel hurt, it's almost always another person involved? Have you ever been hurt by... Have your feelings ever been hurt by just an animal? Or a tree? We're hurt when we interact as people. So whenever my mind... When I feel that offense, when I feel that, when I'm being confronted with that, my mind gets in gear. And it starts saying, yeah, you know what, they probably meant to do that. You know what's happening? The devil is coming by and feeding. And the mind, the ear. And the devil's trying to drive wedges. The devil's trying to enhance hurt. The devil is trying to separate, to weaken. Quit you like men. Be strong in the faith. Don't let the devil take advantage of us. I want to tell you, the devil will do all kinds to enter into our mind, to bring us to a place of weakness, to bring us in. He will do everything he can to destroy our hope, to separate us away from the body. The devil's hateful, he's cruel, he doesn't like any one of us. And I want to tell you what, I don't like him either. Don't like him. When I have experienced it in my own life, those places where the devil has gotten advantage, I don't like the devil. And I know using the word hate is kind of
a strong word, but it's okay to use it in this. I hate the devil. I don't like him at all. And when we notice and recognize that he's trying to come in and fit something in there that should never reside in my heart, it's good for us to look at the devil and say, "Devil, I hate you. Hate you with a perfect passion. I see now what you're trying to do. And I want to put armor on here." It's a good time to say, "Lord, I'm going to bring all this hurt. I'm going to bring all this that I'm wrestling with in my soul. And I want to stand. I want to be strong. I want to watch and stand fast in the faith. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against other people." Oh, but you just said a while ago that generally other people are involved. Yes, other people get it. But you know who's involved the most? It's the spirit of the devil working in me, working in you, working in this realm of temptation, is what I should really say. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for the wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." On an individual level, the Lord, there is a place in every one of us that the devil would like to claim this exalted place in our own heart and our own mind, that would take control of our hearts and our mind, direct us in the wrong path. Yes, I recognize we can also apply this to wickedness in this world around us. I understand that. We could do that. But the greatest place of victory that I must gain, you know, when I'm busy looking at all the things wrong politically, and we can point to a lot of it, and I can get so fixated on that that in my own soul somewhere I'm wrestling something against myself, inside me. These things that are against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in my own soul, this place that the devil would like to rise up. We're wrestling against this because my heart is most important for me to keep the door of my heart, to keep the door of my mind, not let my spiritual ears be affected by this attack of Satan to move us away from the soundness of walking with the Lord. Spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." What's the evil day? The evil day, does that mean when wickedness is just predominant around in my environment? Well, it can be. But the wicked day is when you're pressed to your max. When you're pressed, when the devil is so pressing you to the place of almost breaking. He says, "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." And having done all in that point, when you're pressed to the limit, you've done all you know how to do, he said, "Stand there. Keep on standing. Lord, I don't know what else to do, but I'm going to be right here." If it feels like the devil is just about ready to drown me and all this, but I'm standing here because I choose you, Lord. "Stand, watch ye, stand fast, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Your very goings, the very motivation of your life, that part that the legs make us move forward. That part of us where strength is, that it may be girt about. Your loins girt about with truth. Lord, I honor you more than anything. And if it's truth, it's truth. And I'm going to receive it. I'm going to love it. If it's about me, Lord, if a mirror is held before me, and as Nathan had to confront David, and David said, when Nathan said, "Thou art the man," David said, "Yes, I am." Now, it may not be that dramatic or that extensive in your life, but sometimes when the Lord Himself stands before us and says, "Child, here's your problem. Let your loins be girt about with truth," and say, "Amen, Lord. I believe that is. I just saw myself in the mirror. And I really didn't like what I saw. And I would like to ignore it and act like it wasn't me." At that moment, say, "Lord, gird my loins with truth." And as we encounter the Lord in our life, and we, as He shines His light on our pathway, say, "Amen, Lord, I'm embracing Your truth." When His light, His truth is revealed to me, about me, "Amen, Lord, I embrace Your truth." Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is something that would cover the vital organs of a person. This breastplate, this area right here, we know what it's like. Those are vital, and if somehow there's a major damage begins to happen in this part of the body, you're at risk of dying. Many people have died rapidly when things happen internally. And the devil knows where you're the most vulnerable. That area, put on the breastplate. Put on that protecting. I'm telling you to do all this. There's a method by which we put these things on. We're going to get to a little bit of that here in a little bit. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. This sounds like Brother Paul was encouraging them to view their whole person, their whole, who they were, their, in their mind, in their soul, in all that they were wrestling with, whatever those places are that were vulnerable. When your feet shod, there's a reason why we put shoes on. I remember when I was a young man, I spent a lot of time going barefoot on the farm. And I know that might seem a little strange to some people who are not used to that, but I went barefoot a bunch. And up into my teenage years, you could see me out there on the farm a lot of times going barefoot. I should have learned how to put on shoes before that, because I had a lot of thorns got in my feet, had a lot of stickers, and a lot of things happened there that I had to pull out. And this is saying, put something protective on your feet. You know something else that can happen when you go barefoot out in a barn lot? You ever heard of parasites? Do you know you can contact parasites that begin to... I'm sorry, it sounds a little bit gross. But I want us to take it spiritually. God would have us to protect ourselves. A lot of times you don't know when a parasite is starting to attach itself to you. You don't recognize it at the beginning. But after a while, there's some symptoms begin to happen. You recognize something's going on. I'm not as strong. Don't feel as good. I don't feel as vibrant as what I used to. Something has attacked me. Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel. That doesn't mean just going out and being unprepared to carry the gospel. That gospel is preparing you and I. It's doing something for us. Put it on. Put it on my feet. When I get into places of danger, be careful that I'm protected. Don't get so close. Don't get so attracted by eyesight, by hearing, by the glitter of what I'm around, of the world that we must walk through. Don't be so attracted by that, that somehow I have allowed it, the parasitic infection of my spirit, where I don't feel quite as, you know, I don't really care anymore. I'm just lethargic spiritually. There's a reason why he said, watch ye. Stand fast. There's a reason, because we have a propensity to become lethargic, careless. Because we are confronted with life, and almost imperceptibly sometimes, things can attach themselves to us. There's a reason why sometimes we have revivals. You know what that's for? That we might be revived. That we might be stirred again in our heart. That the devil not take advantage of us. God would have us with all of our heart to be watchful, be prayerful, be careful. We're not wrestling. If it was wrestling with a man, I could identify him and work. But this is a spiritual battle. This is one real wily and sneaky. The devil would like to come in and infest our minds. That would weaken us. Leave a question mark there. Make it where we don't know on whom we have believed. What was the writer? I know on whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. That sounds like somebody that's not hanging in the balance and saying, I don't know which way to go. He says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I've committed unto him against the day. He knew, he had firmly convinced and convicted. And the Lord would have us to have that type of a clarity in our lives. Take the helmet salvation. Maybe I've lost my place here. Feet shod. Preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. This wrapping of the mind, of the head, of the thinking, of this that can, if it gets infected, if it gets damaged, this part of me that for my passions arise from, this part, if I somehow allow it not to be protected and keep the armament around my mind, keep the door of my lips and my heart and all that I am, Lord, set a watch there, Lord. Above all, take the shield of faith, where you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I think, you know, we do draw distinctions many times, and rightly so, between the Holy Spirit, sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God. We draw some distinction there, but I want to tell you, it's so intertwined between the Word and the Spirit, it's very hard to cut it very sharply asunder. But there is a place that the Word comes and to instruct and inform. The Word does that. You know what the Spirit does? It comes to reveal and enlighten. It puts more meaning to that word that is spoken to me. And the Spirit not only does that, it comes to set my mind straight. Because my mind can put it in a carnal and a selfish light. When the Word of God comes to me, I can interpret it. I've heard people say, be angry and sin not. And they dwelt very much on the part that says, be angry. Does that sound right? Now God would have us not to give over to this carnal vindictiveness of anger. It doesn't mean we don't encounter anger, because we will. But sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't You notice what he's saying here? As we wrestle with life, don't give quarter to the devil. Don't put the helmet of salvation on. Let your mind be right with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to come and take our carnal propensities to defend myself. When I really should be saying, Lord, you're my defense and I'm willing. You help me to think rightly. I want your Holy Spirit to take a place and strengthen that place, that weak place in my mind. Take place of that unholy thinking that I've had in the past. And I give that now. And I want your Holy Spirit to strengthen me with might in this inner man, that I might have grace and strength. Put this on. Not just the word, because we can carnally interpret the word, but take on the Spirit also. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying, listen to this. I think here is one of the greatest tools of putting on the whole armor of God. Praying. Always. With all praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. These are things that you and I can do. We can enter in when we find ourselves being oppressed and being crushed or being moved by the events of life. We have a place that we can run into our Lord Jesus Christ and commune with Him. He is not a distant Father, but He's near to every one of us. The Lord would have us learn to go into that protective place, that of all prayer and supplication, that all that seeking of Him, this is a place to best bind on your armament. This is a place where you find when you acknowledge to my Lord, to our Father in heaven, this is the place to tell Him, Lord, I feel weak here. This is a place that the dart has entered in. This is a place that where I feel a weakening happening in my spiritual life. And in doing so, you are strapping on an armor. You are beginning to watch. You are applying watchfulness and standfastness. That's how you do it. In prayer. In seeking the Lord. This is part of the battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The battle isn't out there, but many times it's in here. This is where we're wrestling. This is where I need the Lord. This is where I need the armament. This is a place where I go into my closet. I go into that secret place with the Lord where I commune with Him and bear my soul. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? I'm not asking all of us here today to stand up and share all your places today. I wouldn't do that. That's pretty personal, isn't it? But I would ask us to go into our closet and say, Lord, here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I need some help. Because our Father is not a harsh Father. If you think today, if your mindset is that God is somebody that's just waiting for the opportunity to say, oh, you know, I'm tired of dealing with you. And you've just stepped too far over the line and I'm going to cut you off. I want to tell you that's not the God that we find in the Scripture. The God that we find in the Scripture is one who is merciful, who is loving, who is healing. Jesus is the one that told. And I'm willing to admit that that may have been talking about somebody who had went out there and got lost. I don't know exactly all the metaphor here, the parable that Jesus shared. But you remember about the man who had 100 sheep. And he came back that night and there was 99 and one wasn't there. And Jesus is revealing to us the heart of the Good Shepherd. Jesus is revealing to us the heart of our Lord. When he counted and recognized there wasn't but 99, and he knew one of them was out there somewhere lost, perhaps caught, perhaps vulnerable, perhaps
The wolves were eyeing it. All these things were, it was perhaps even could have had a broken, all these things can happen to us when we get out there. But Jesus gave us the example of that shepherd that began, there's one missing, and he said he went out hunting until he found that one. And I want to tell you today, that reveals to us the loving care of our Lord. He's interested in your life and mine, wherever we find ourselves today. God is interested in reclaiming the broken. The one that might be over in the hedgerow. The one who feels rusted. The one who feels useless. The one who feels forgotten. I want to tell you, the shepherd goes over the mountains. And he does have special oil to pour into your soul. But he encourages us today to go into that secret place of communion with our Lord and allow him to take apart sometimes the broken areas and pour in his healing oil and protect us there and put on some armament. Yes, he wants us to come out of there with a fresh vigor, but sometimes we find ourselves in almost a broken place. And God's not trying to cut you off today if that's where you find yourself. He's not here to cause and say, you're broken and I'm tired of dealing with you. God's not that kind. Humans can be that way. Us human fathers are not perfect. And some of us have done some have given horrible examples of fatherhood. But I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father has the greatest of example. He loves His children. He nurtures and feeds and protects and pursues and pours in the oil when we're broken. And takes us in His arms and carries us on His back when needed. This is our God. And I wanted to encourage us today to stand fast in Him. Quit you like men. And I want to really say along with that, learn to lean on Him. Men do that. Men, godly men, learn to lean on the Lord. Quit you like men. Be strong. Praying always. Always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I'm going to say this along with him. He added this. Praying for all and all saints. And he said, and pray for me. Can I ask you today to do that? Pray for me. And they'll pray for each other. God wants us to do that. Support one another in love. Uphold one another. Paul said, pray for me that I might be able to, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He felt a call on his life. He wanted to share that. Folks, we need to pray for one another. For ourselves, yes. But also for each other. Time's getting away and I want to leave you with one last quick passage. 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I read that again to you? In the midst of, and I don't want to leave us in the dark, gloomy feeling like, you know, we're wrestling. I want to tell you, we must wrestle. But it's not all wrestling. There's victory. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Give ourselves to the Lord today. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. I like that sound, don't you? I want to encourage us today as we go from here. Be watchful. Be steadfast. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. But then I want to leave with this. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go from here. Be watchful. Wrestle. Meet the foe. Recognize the places perhaps we are weak. Ask the Lord to fortify us there. And then thank God for the victory. And come back next Wednesday night with a testimony. And share it. I wrestled this week. The devil came and he tried to, but the Lord has given me the victory. Tell us how you got it. Give us a scripture that's been ringing in your heart that the Lord used to give you the victory. Share that. It blesses each other when we can take what the Lord and take that little, that oil that the Lord poured in our wound, and we share it a little bit with my brother and sister. I want to tell you what, we'll get in here. Oh, you say, that rings true in my heart. I heard what you said, brother, and I know that's the Lord working in there. And we're going to find that the Lord uses these things to tie us a little closer together. We'll learn to be vulnerable to one another because we trust, because I've learned to love one another. And we pray and we are tied together then as this body of Christ. Then the world can look on and say, those folks over there, they got something. They've got something, and I want it. More than just a pretty song, I want to hear it. I want to hear the ringing of the Word of God lived out in our lives. Pray for me, I want to serve.